Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host. This is where you get a week's worth of news and information in just one setting. Just want to welcome you onto the program. On this program, we have, you know, just some more news reports. Warmer air helped the 2017 ozone hole over Antarctica, the smallest since 1998. Apple Incorporated has revealed its new number, saying that it's worth nearly $1 trillion. Apple computer, worth nearly $1 trillion. The Clinton campaign took over the Democratic Party months before she ran, and she rigged the entire system, according to Donna Brazile, who has a new book out. And the State Department is giving child sex offenders new passports. And premature birth rates increased for the second year in a row after nearly a decade of decline. Now, we have that this week in court and much more, so I want to welcome you on to the show. You are listening to our weekly news summary wrap-up show. Now, you can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. If you're in the archives, we're live 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the same number. Now, if you want to check us out in the archives, in the words of my girl, Lucy Abreu, we always have news you can use. You can go to espritradio.solasyracuse.com if you want to check out some of those shows. Now, our first story, Obamacare enrollment started, and I called it Obamacare for the good news I'm about to bring you. Obamacare, or the Affordable Health Care enrollment, started November 1st to December 15th. Now, 4 out of 5 people who uses healthcare.gov, 80%, will be able to purchase a plan for $75 or less per month. It's the cheapest ever in the history of Obamacare. It's the cheapest ever. Now, a 27-year-old, just so you know this in numbers, a 27-year-old making $25,000 a year will pay $4 less a month, and a family of four making $60,000 a year will pay $10 less per month. Now, subsidies for families of four are available for families up to a combined income of $98,000. There are some plans that are going up. I guess it's a silver plan, but you can check other plans. But overall, it's going down. Now, other news on the Obamacare front, the Obamacare insurance plans will surge around 37% in 2018. Now, this is fueled by the Trump administration's suspension of billions of dollars in subsidy payments to health insurance, but they are still saying that plans will, you know, go up. But our good news for today is that they're expecting a record number of people, and plans are actually gone down for this year, enrollment for 2018. So they're saying the next year, 2019, will go up. But for this year, if you stir and sign up between November 1st and December 15th, you're going to have better rates. Okay, any questions? Put it in the chat. Overall, NASA scientists say a smaller Arctic ozone hole. It extended in 2016 and 2017, and they're saying it's due to a natural variability and is not a sign of rapid healing, but they expect the hole to be to recover to 1980 levels around 2070. Now, I know that seems like a long way away, but the hole is huge, and they're saying it is now shrinking in our good news from NASA. So I guess climate change is affecting, but they're saying we, I guess, lowered our greenhouse gases, and there's a change so far. Now, climate change is really killing people and will become the biggest health threat of the 21st century is what experts are saying. Heat waves are becoming more frequently as global temperatures rise. Disease-carrying mosquitoes are increasing their range, and crops are failing as the world warms up, and that's according to a new report that was released. So, you know, there's good news and there's bad news, apparently, on this show. There's an island update from the storm of Hurricane Maria. Now, I know that most people kind of, I shouldn't say they moved on, but since we don't really cover the numbers on what's going on, I just want to give you some island updates for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Now, 33% of the power is restored in Puerto Rico, which is not good. 31% of power is restored in St. Thomas, 12% in St. John, and 3% of customers in St. Croix have power. Now, it's been more than 40 days since that storm. So if you didn't hear me, Puerto Rico has 33%, St. Thomas has 31%, St. John has 12%, and St. Croix has 3%. So when you hear people on TV talking about helping out the islands, please help the islands, and much respect and to everybody out there. But we need to put that out in the news and to keep saying that loud so that people can understand what's going on outside of the continental United States. They still are U.S. citizens. Now, the State Department has there to give child sex offenders new passports. They're identifying them for their past crimes in a bid to curb child exploitation and sex tourism. So America's registered child sex offenders will now be identified by their passports. Now, it is in response to a law after a 7-year-old Megan Canta was murdered in 1994 by a convicted sex offender. But hopefully, you know, for those people who followed this news program, you know, we talked about some of the atrocities that happen when American workers go to places like Haiti and all of those other places, and they're sending sex offenders that are working for them. So now that it needs to be reported on their passports, hopefully everyone will get some kind of sense about who is coming to the country, saying that they're helping people. We should have a national moratorium on that. We should really talk about that. Also, you know, Facebook says that 126 million Americans may have sent Russian links or Russian-linked political posts over a 2-year period. That's far more than previously thought. Facebook Inc. said that Russia-based operatives published about 80,000 posts on social networks in the effort to sway U.S. U.S. politics. Now, again, I've seen some of those ads. Some of you are a little too gullible, but technically, if you see an ad on Facebook or any social media, look at the source, because they are just flat making out names of news sources. But it seems to work. But check those, and if they're not reputable, and even Fox, they're not reputable. But if you see any of those guys, do not, just kind of ignore the story. The CDC has new figures that reveal that fentanyl is now responsible for more than 50% of the opioid deaths in the United States. Now, the current opioid crisis, they're saying, is the worst drug epidemic in modern U.S. history. have a lot I can say about this, but I'm just gonna leave that alone right now. Dr. Gerald Rosenberg from Rhode Island pled guilty on Wednesday to accepting almost $200,000 in kickbacks in return for prescribing highly addictive fentanyl spray. Now, he prescribed it to patients that did not need drugs, and then he falsified their records so that it appeared that the patients required the spray. Some of the patients complained that they did not like the drug side effects or that the drug was not working for them, but Dr. Rosenberg refused to switch their prescription to another drug just to get the kickback. So he has been arrested and pled guilty. They didn't say what he's going to get, but I'll keep on top of the story so that I can report what is going to happen to him next for this. But, hey, there you have it. That was in our, I guess, our drug update. I didn't know we had one, but there you go. Walgreens now sells overdose antidotes over-the-counter without a prescription as the U.S. battles this, what they're calling a drug epidemic. Again, in the 80s, everything was fine. There was no drug epidemic, apparently. Nancy Reagan did this is your brain on drugs commercial. I guess that was the end of that. I know, my sarcasm today. But now, Walgreens, the chain of more than 8,000 pharmacies, announced Tuesday that their customers in 45 states will be able to buy Narcan. Now, that's a brand of drug that will help people who are overdosing on I guess heroin. I'm not really sure. Go check your go as Walgreens, but you can now buy it without a prescription. I don't know how much it costs, but they're now selling Narcan for people who are overdosing on opioids, apparently. Okay, hundreds of thousands of Amazon products may be unavailable for Black Friday because of a computer glitch from Amazon. They're saying that this glitch is leaving sellers unable to buy new stock. So even if you get in, I don't know how they back order, but even if you get in there early, you may be out of luck with Amazon for their for what they call Black Friday. You know, I say they because technically, I don't call it Black Friday. But anyway, so if you are looking for your products, you might want to either get in there early because, like always, they're starting the holiday season earlier and earlier. But they're anticipating this. They're anticipating that they won't have enough stock. Now, I didn't start off the show with this because this happened last week, and I know I didn't talk about this, but I do want to talk about the passing of Robert Guillaume. Now, Robert Guillaume, the actor who dreamt of being the first Black tenor to sing at the Metropolitan Opera House, but settled for on-stage acting on television. He won some Emmy Awards for playing the same character on two different ABC series. He died last week in his Los Angeles home. He was 89 years old. His wife, Donna Brown Guillaume, said that the cause was complications of prostate cancer, which he had for over 25 years. Guillaume famously said he wanted Black people to be proud of Benson, is what he wrote in his autobiography. And it's called Guillaume, A Life. He also said that Benson's sharp tongue and dignified, disposition had allowed him to transcend his station while getting laughs. So he said, what made the humor was that he didn't care about what people thought about him. And during a 1972 interview with the Chicago Tribune, he shed light on his personal struggles with self-esteem and his internal battle with racism. But despite the problems he faced, those humble beginnings is what he said molded him into the man that he is. And he also said, as a Black man, I'd been in a kind of wilderness. He said, I didn't know. I didn't like being Black. I thought I had the whole thing together. He also told Parade magazine that, you know, it gets him crazy, the assumption that being Black and poor was our own fault. And I'll never forget where I came from and how I got here. So much respect to Robert Guillaume. And if you have not ever seen Cosmic Slop, the old HBO show, Face Traders is Cosmic Slop. They did a series of three Twilight Zones with George Clinton as kind of the Rod Sterling character. And Robert Guillaume starred in Space Traders. Space Traders was the best thing I've ever seen on TV to date. Robert Guillaume starred in that. And so I want to pay a little tribute and honor to Robert Guillaume. If you ever get a chance to see it, it does work for this political time and the world that we're in. And it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same for people of color anyway. So Robert Guillaume, much respect to him. Now, also, you know, while I'm at it, you know, there's another story that I missed from last week that was had to do with not the widow of LaDavid Johnson, but Maisha Johnson, who is the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. She spoke on behalf, or she spoke in Good Morning America last week about Congresswoman, Florida Congresswoman Frederica Wilson, and she said that she was 100% correct when she was on the phone with that dotard Trump. And she said, why would fabricate something like that? And she was stunned by the call and said that she didn't respond. And when they asked her, did she have anything to say to Trump, she said no. So much respect to her. But I have information on what happened from Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford. He attempted to answer questions about what happened. So LaDavid Johnson died on October 3rd mission along with Brian C. Black, Sergeant Brian C. Black, Staff Sergeant Jeremy Johnson, and Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright during an unplanned mission to capture or kill a high-ranking ISIS target is what they call it. And the men were separated in their vehicles when 50 ISIS militants opened fire on them. Johnson, who was in an armored pickup truck, was in front of the convoy, so he was able to escape with some others by speeding ahead about 200 yards. They then realized the three other men who were in an unarmored Land Cruiser were stuck in the kill zone. They went back and tried to save them. Johnson manned a machine gun mounted on the back of a pickup truck, and he was with two other U.S. soldiers who were on foot. But at some point, both vehicles were blasted, so Johnson was likely thrown from his. That's according to an unnamed U.S. official who spoke on the conditions of anonymity. They revealed the details last week. So he went back for the other three guys who were caught in that firefight, and he deserves his Purple Heart. So we'll see if he gets it. But, you know, I'm not really quick to say that just because somebody was in the military that they're a hero, but he actually went back for some other folks, and he died trying to get them out. So I just wanted to make sure I did that story. I didn't talk about it before, but I really wanted to go on the record on this one. On that note, let's go to the commish and bring her in. You're listening to Esprinet News, and we're on with our commissioner. Hey, Kathleen, how are you today?
Hey, Rome, I'm doing good. And that's just such a humbling story, you know, so thank you for sharing that, because so many of us would not know that this is what happened with this gentleman. So, yeah, Purple Heart to him.
I didn't want to skip the story. I didn't do the story. And I thought, you know, we never hear what happened. And they're going to skim over it because, you know, the Trump folks and that nut General Kelly, you know, they're not going to come back and apologize to the widow. And out of respect for that, I want us to even, you know, just to know that story, because those fools are going to hide it for as long as they can because they're disrespectful to black folks. So I need to make sure I set that.
Thank you.
Anytime, anytime. You know, I couldn't remember. I was reading the story, so I don't know if you came in on this story or the last one, but yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about that. Did you get a chance to see how that whole thing transpired with those guys calling her out, you know, the congresswoman saying that she embellished the story, and then they came out with a tape saying, oh, no, she did not do what General Kelly said. Then that nut goes on Fox and says he doesn't plan on apologizing to her.
I didn't see any of it, but I heard all of it, and it's just it's appalling. And I read an article that was rather encouraging, you know, that just talked about how so many people thought that this man was the balancer for 45 and his maddening administration, that everyone had so much hope for him and felt comfort or safety in the fact that he was there to temper the madness that was coming out of the White House and to, you know, basically do as much to stop the lies. If the listeners remember the photograph that they showed of 45 saying some crazy stuff at some event, and this guy was kind of, you know, they tried to indicate that this man, Kelly, was bowing his head and trying to say, oh, my God, what is he saying? You know, just kind of hoping that this man was the voice of reason. And that had continued until this, you know, and when he went on, they were pretty much
lying for him.
Exactly.
They were covering
for him. And so, you know, when this came out now, we said, oh, so that's how he does it. Because we were like, oh, yeah, Kelly's going to resign. And, you know, Kelly can't take this. And, oh, my God, Kelly's just such a good person. He's going to stay there and, you know, try to take one for the team and be there to try and, you know, keep this guy in check. You know, he's got to be the babysitter, blah, 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 blah. And now we know that that is not at all the case.
We have a racist attorney general, a racist chief of staff, a racist guy who is in that office, and we can't expect, you know, and especially little Wednesday Adams, who's the press secretary, even looking at those guys, I'm thinking we can't be deceived. Like, I'm in an area where we're running a mayor's race, right, and I'm not working any of them. But we have the candidate who's the son of a former little Reagan Republican. Even black folks are out there saying, hey, he's a nice guy and we should consider him. And I'm thinking, vote Democrat. You cannot keep being deceived by people because they're not telling you in your face that they hate you. We have to kind of stay vigilant to say, when we see it, call it out and stop acting like, you know, just because he's not acting like Trump, he's not racist or he's not crazy. I mean, he went on Fox News and said something like, you know, the Civil War didn't have to happen if they would have just compromised. What does that mean to slavery, right? Y'all could have paid them a little bit more. Is that a compromise? You could have enslaved the parents but not the kids. Like, what's a good compromise in slavery? And he was serious about that.
I heard Trevor Noah talking about it last night, and he was, you know, you can imagine the stuff that he was saying. So compromise, what exactly? Like, there was no compromise.
Yeah. I have no picture what that means in the bigger picture, that kind of compromise.
We have a similar thing happening in the mayoral race here in New York City. Interestingly enough. So they're trying. Oh yeah, because they're making de Blasio out to be this liberal nincompoop, you know, and then talking about his rich friends and he's not, you know, first that you've got the liberal, we hate despicable liberals, and then you have the liberal, he's not really a liberal, he's really a wealthy guy, hanging
right.
out with all these Republicans and stealing money from everybody, and so, you know, both sides are tallying
yeah.
against him. And then you have all of these ads by a woman who they will not say when they do her ads, and she does the ads as though she's, you know, oh, I'm for the people, and I'm going to make sure this, and my parents were that, and, you know, my parents were poor, and blah, 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 blah. And none of her ads say that she's Republican. None of them.
Right.
And I was like, oh,
right.
so that's the new trick. We'll just do
yeah,
this ad that looks so, you know, appealing, and we just won't put in there that it's Republican. Well, wait a minute, is she running against him on the Democratic ticket? Because she's got a Democratic ad. Because, of course, New York City
yeah.
is a Democratic city. So she's doing a
yeah.
Democratic-type ad and just leaving off the fact that she's Republican. Oh, like,
yeah,
so
I mean, and we had that here. Like, so the Republican here is running for the Independence Party, which gives you the illusion in New York State that that's an independent party, but there's technically in New York State an Independence Party. And I think Golisano runs that party. I think it's Golisano, or the guy who owned Paychex, one of those two own this part, who runs this party. So it's technically a Republican subset. It's like the working family is a Democratic leaning, or their liberal party, like those subsets of major parties. Well, this guy is a Republican, but he's running under the Independence Party to make it look like, oh, I'm not a Republican, I'm cool with y'all. And then we actually had a candidate who was running for judge who's a Republican who ran in the Democratic primary. He lost, but he's still on the ticket or in the ballot to run. So he was trying to get enough Democrats' votes in the primary so that then in a Democratic city that people may vote for him. Now, again, you could try any kind of trick that you want to, but I am really disappointed in my people. For falling for this so much. It is getting sickening. It gives me a headache. But I'm like, you can't.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to come out to say, for those who are paying attention, that person's a Republican. Because you should be able to tell that. We should be able to see this stuff by now instead of year after year going through the same mess. And speaking of that, I'll do this story while I'm at it. You know, Hillary Clinton's Donna Brazile just came out with a book. And they published excerpts from that book, from her new book. And she said that Hillary Clinton's campaign seized control of the Democratic National Committee months before she won the party's nomination. And before she actually decided to run. Because they're saying that she had an agreement that all the money that she would raise for the party, her campaign would be able to oversee the funds. So all of that money went to New York, to the Clinton office in New York City, instead of going to the Democratic Party offices. So anybody in the state races who wanted money during the presidential race had to go to the Clintons for it. So she's saying that they rigged that whole system with this joint fundraising agreement that gave Clinton control over the DNC. And she also writes that they were able to divert funds from major joint fundraisers away from non-swing states into her own campaign.
I'm not sure I get what you're saying right now. I'm trying
okay.
to follow you, but I'm not sure I get it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask the question.
So are you saying that anyone who donated money to the national presidential Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
had all of the money, all the money for the presidential campaign went through her camp, went to her camp, and also all the money that was raised for Democratic candidates in other local areas had to also be directed through the presidential campaign so that she could decide which candidates would get money?
Oh, okay, nope. It goes like this. So you can donate directly to her campaign. So the campaign,
right.
All campaigns get money directly to the campaigns. And then the DNC, as the Democratic National Committee, does fundraisers for the bigger pot of the Democratic candidates. So she had an agreement with them that any joint fundraisers that Hillary did on behalf of the DNC, when that money goes to the DNC, that she gets to control the money and who it goes to when she was involved in the joint fundraisers. She had a joint fundraising agreement. She had two of them, two or three of them. Now, it's not illegal, but it is damn sure highly unethical. But they controlled the money that they raised for the DNC.
So you are saying that if she participated in the fundraiser, so if she went and did a speech to somebody, or if she did anything on behalf of the Democratic National Committee, the DNC.
Yes.
So, but the DNC raises money also for itself, because the DNC will also support other races.
Right. They support other races across the board. And sometimes the party does, campaign ads for the candidate, and then the candidates pay the DNC back. So let's say I was running and I needed to run some commercials. I can go to the DNC and say, hey, we need to fund these commercials. We're raising money, but we'll pay the DNC back for what they loaned us. And technically, the DNC didn't have any money. Because, and Donna Brazile, right, that she called Bernie Sanders, and she said she found a cancer in the organization. This is when she took over. She said she found a cancer in the organization, but she can't kill the patient, because once Hillary Clinton won, now she can't expose the fact that they were so dysfunctional. And she described that it was poorly run by her predecessor, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They had no checks and balances, and she didn't do jack. Like, the executive committee had no control over what was going on at the DNC, because Wasserman Schultz was a Hillary supporter, so they just deferred everything to them. Now, as much as I don't like Trump, that was all done to get Joe Biden out of the race. They rigged the DNC so that they can squeeze everybody else out. So Donna Brazile said she called Bernie Sanders in her book. She said she talked to Bernie Sanders, told him, and she said she hung up the phone, and she said, I cried. I didn't cry because I did anything wrong. I cried because it was so sad that the system was like it was. She said she cried after she hung up the phone. She told Bernie Sanders.
But
they knew it was rigged.
She worked for Hillary, didn't she?
She was the chair of the DNC after Debbie Wasserman Schultz did whatever she did, and then she was the interim chair. And then Donna Brazile, after the hacking, because they said they knew about the hacking, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz didn't give a rat's about it. They knew they were getting hacked, but they wouldn't do anything security-wise to stop them from getting hacked.
Oh, boy.
I know. So I just kind of thought I would piggyback on the whole dysfunction of politics, because sometimes you can't trust the Democratic side. But I am saying, rather than letting it's still, although I know all of this about Hillary, I'd still probably rather have her than Trump. Like, they both were horrible, which tells us that we need to step up our game and run some candidates worth their salt. And on a DNC side, they're getting strong-armed. And then on a Republican side, you have all these racist white supremacist folks over there. So sometimes you can't win for losing, but we have to manage our losses a little bit better.
Oh,
all right.
Boy.
In brighter news, You know, First Lady, Michelle Obama.
One more quick question, please. Okay, because there was all this talk about how Hillary had basically stonewalled Bernie Sanders. That, you know, because of how they handled it. This was going on during the election, which is why so many of the Bernie supporters didn't travel, you know, didn't transfer over when he dropped out of the race. So is this part of the same thing that you're talking about?
Well, I'm saying this was going on behind the scenes. I'm sure the bigger picture was that Obama's people didn't transfer over either, and the Bernie Sanders didn't because the Clinton people was not welcoming. They had the DNC on lockdown, so they didn't give a rat's about anybody else in the Democratic Party. That was their problem. So the reason that the Obama people weren't there is because they landlocked everybody. And I was saying that during the time that if you look on TV, whether it was CNN, MSNBC, Meet the Press, or whatever, it was all the same Hillary people. Obama people were not involved in helping Hillary until last minute when she realized that, oh, I'm going to really need your help. But now they're trying to blame President Obama for not doing more, but they didn't want him to do more. So what are you going to do? Force yourself on somebody else's campaign? So Hillary didn't get, you know, Michelle or the First Lady or the President involved until late because her negatives were so high. And you remember we talked about this when she first ran. I said there's no way she can win with her negatives that high, and luckily Trump's negatives are just as high or higher. So it was a bunch of two lame ducks running at the same time. Again, if they would have just went with Biden. Yeah, if they just went with Biden. I was just trying to throw that out there. We could have been all feeling great right now.
I just feel like Joe should have ran anyway. I don't understand how he could have gotten locked out. You know, I don't get that. But Bernie's people said that Hillary was, you know, like doing something skullduggerous, which caused him to lose the primary.
Right, because the primaries are different. When you get the nomination from the primaries, I think Hillary had the designation from the DNC, and then Bernie got the signatures, and he ran to challenge the DNC choice, which was Hillary. So the committee is not going to help the challengers to whoever they selected, and which they're not. They're supposed to be neutral. But she had it stacked with her people. And Debbie Wiseman Schultz was a girl. And so they were giving him a raw deal. Like, if you remember years ago, Reverend Sharpton ran for president. I can't even remember what race it was. I remember him running. And so he didn't have enough travel money. Like, you go to the DNC, they pay for travel. So as he's traveling to different sites in different places, he went to the DNC travel office and said, hey, you know what? We need X amount of dollars to cover our travel. The DNC travel office said, we have no more money. We're out. We're done. And Reverend Sharpton dropped out of the race. The very next day they said, we forgot. We have $3 million in the travel office. The day after he dropped out of the race. They would not tell him. Yeah. He said, and Reverend Sharpton said, we need to have more black people working at the national level at the DNC. They're hiding stuff from us, so what are we going to do? So we have to watch major parties like that. That's why you have to challenge parties because, you know, in Obama's case, it was stacked for Hillary when President Obama ran the first time against Hillary. He just beat her butt on the ground. He raised all his money separate from the DNC because they wasn't raising any money for him. They were doing all the Hillary stuff. She had all the money, all the resources, and he beat her. And that's why I said Joe Biden should just do the same thing. But he didn't want to. He's an older politician, and he and I mean, when I say older, I mean he's been in the DNC a long time. So he would expect them to have some loyalty to his service. But they were like, it's Hillary's turn. I'm with her. They were playing that, and, again, we see how that planned out. We're not going to go through that. But that's how that worked out.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, former First Lady Michelle Obama said that men feel they're entitled and women protect them too much. Now, she was at the first Obama Foundation International Summit. She said men were raised to be babies while women were brought up to be strong. She said, it's like the problem in the world today is that we love our boys and we raise our girls, is what the First Lady said. She said, we raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care, we take care not to hurt men, I guess is what she's saying. And I think that we pay for it a little bit. So the former First Lady told, she said, men, y'all need to get some friends to develop a support network in the same way women do, talk to each other, because that's the thing, other thing that women do, we straighten each other out on some things. Our girlfriends is what she said. Now, President Obama kicked off his first ever Obama Foundation Summit in Chicago. It's a two-day event, and it was meant to inspire new leaders. Now, I disagree with her, but I'm going to let her have that because technically she was the best First Lady ever, you know, just smoking on the planet. So I'm just going to leave her alone. I'm not going to even question that. But I understand what she's saying.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
What you, I know. And it wasn't because I was scared of you. I'm just going to say that for the record. I hear her. She wasn't talking to me. See how I can do that? She wasn't talking to me. She's talking to them.
Yeah, okay.
Like some people are right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I'm going to take that. She's talking to the kids, the millennials. Those guys are lost. And I was just telling someone that recently.
I thought she was talking to
Harvey.
What'd you say? I thought she was talking to Harvey and Kevin and Bill and Rush and on until the break of dawn.
Oh, God. And, you know, that list is growing longer. It's like the director, Brett Ratner, and all of these other people. People are Jeremy Piven, the actor. Women are coming out the woodwork. But a bunch of them were picked.
I think that's what she's talking about.
Okay. Well, okay. But she should stop talking to black people then, because they ain't your core audience for this problem. I just want to say that for the record. Now, I'm not saying some of them not. I'm just saying they're not your core audience. She's bigger than that. I'm going to put you on mute on that one, Kathleen. I know where you're going to go, but I'm not. You're about to get put on mute. I just wanted to tell you that for the record. I have my hand on the button. All right.
No fit.
Now, Paul Manafort faces up to 80 years in jail after he is under house arrest along with his former business partner, Rick Gates, after pleading not guilty to a $75 million money laundering charge. And Dotard insists that he had nothing to do with it. Now, Paul Manafort and Rick Gates entered a not guilty plea on Monday, and they told the judge that they'll fight the laundry list of felony charges brought by the grand jury. So if you don't know, Paul Manafort is the former campaign chair of Dotard, and he's a veteran lobbyist. He's now charged with conspiring against the United States and money laundering on a gigantic scale, followed an investigation by special prosecutor Robert Mueller. He came back to court this week and said since he posted $10 million bail, he doesn't want the ankle bracelet on his house arrest. So he thinks that that's a deterrent for him not to leave the country because he put $10 million bail up. I'm sorry, $75 million in money laundering charges. I think he can still skip the country with, about 50 mil. It's like he said, since he put up $10 million, he's not going to leave. So take the ankle bracelet off me. Yeah, nice try. he tried.
Especially since they in the money laundering report that I saw it on Maddow, that they only have about 20 some odd million of those dollars that were laundered.
Right.
in the actual report. So we're like, well, where's the other $50 million at? So you're talking
exactly.
about you're only $10 million.
Yeah. He said he's not a flight risk, and the $10 million is enough to keep him to stay put. But Paul Manafort had three passports. He had a passport in a different name with a different email address and another address assigned to it. And they were like, oh, that's perfectly normal.
Normal?
Yeah.
Normal?
He had three passports in different names. They should arrest him for that. Isn't that like a charge for that? That has to be a charge like fraud. That's a fraud charge, minimally. Right? You have an alias with a government ID?
Yes, that's a problem.
Wouldn't you think that's enough? Okay.
Yes,
well,
that's a
problem. Yeah, they collected three passports from him. All right, now, a former foreign policy advisor, George Papadopoulos, pled guilty on October 5th to making false statements to the special counsel, Robert Mueller. And from the word on the street is, that dude's probably talking. So that's why Manafort, those guys got arrested. And now Jared Kushner has handed over documents today to Robert Mueller for his probe. So the special counsel is now looking into the James Comey firing. But apparently Donald Trump told someone that it was bad advice from his son-in-law that made him fire Comey.
Ooh,
somebody is going to jail.
There we go.
Yeah. He's turning on him right as we speak.
Here we go.
Now, yeah. And speaking of that Trump guy, he asked for a one-on-one meeting with Iran's president at the UN and was turned down. Now, Iran's new agency said that a request indeed was made by the U.S., but it wasn't accepted by their president. So Iran's foreign minister said that on Sunday, but the White House declined to respond. That's what everybody should do to that fool. Every time they make requests, they're like, no, mm-mm. I don't want to talk to you. So.
No. Because nothing good can come from it.
Nothing good can come from it. All right. Now, hip-hop superstar, I guess is what I want to call him, and entrepreneur, because much respect for his line of infused weed products, Snoop Dogg, $1 million to perform at a children's Halloween party. That was held at the home of Starz CEO, Chris, I guess is Brecht. Like, he and his wife, Tina, booked him and DJ Khaled to perform in Santa Monica for 75 kids aged between 7 and 12. But they gave Snoop $1 million. What Snoop song can a 7 and 12-year-old listen to? Gin and Juice? It wasn't going to be a concert. Like, I don't know. But Snoop was like, let me do these three songs for $1 million and I'm out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
see how money works? I just want y'all to see that I could bring them. 7 and 12-year-olds.
Okay.
I wonder if Snoop brought his other products in there when he came and what kind of
I'm
shirt
sure
was
he
wearing.
I'm sure he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure that's what they got what they paid for. Now, you know, Snoop, for the second time this year, has did a parody of the dotard, Trump, and he posted an image of what appears to be his new album cover. You know, we don't say albums much anymore these days, but it says, Make American Crip Again. Now, he posted it on his Instagram account yesterday, and the image shows Snoop standing over a dead body covered with an American flag, and it has a toe tag that reads Trump on it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the Make America Crip Again is the follow-up album to his 2016 Kool-Aid. But, you know, the album cover is identical to Ice Cube's 1991 album cover, Death Certificate. And Ice Cube is, see, it's the background's the same, everything's the same, and it's him standing over a body wrapped in the American flag with the toe tag saying Uncle Sam. Snoop just has Trump on his toe tag. Now, there's been no comment made by the Secret Service, but apparently people are asking them for comments on this. But technically, you can parody anybody, especially, you know, the laws are pretty clear in a free society. When people were hanging effigies of President Obama, nobody went to jail.
Yep.
So,
nope.
You know, regardless if we like it or not, people express freedom on the people you like. Now you're getting mad. Let it go.
Yep.
Woo-tah. Just want to put that out there. Now, four New Jersey police officers were criminally charged on Thursday over a June car crash that ended with a car being on fire, right? And they grabbed the guy out of the car. He was on fire. He was rolling around trying to get himself out. He was taking off his clothes. Got the police dragged him and kicked him, but it was recorded by a bystander, and they found out he was innocent. The guy who they were chasing was in the other car that hit the guy's car, and they both were black, by the way, but the one black guy who was on fire was the car that was hit by the guy who they was chasing, but they beat and kicked the guy who was on fire. So they were criminally charged. I'm not gonna clap my hands to that until somebody gets convicted in this piece. But technically, being charged is not.
Are they on suspension? They're still on desk duty or being on
leave? Yeah, they're probably still getting paid. We got to have an investigation. Again, if it wasn't on tape, they'd be like, "He just fell. He fell. It was a car crash. He fell. It wouldn't even been anything." Now, two white men who were charged in this 1983 cold case that they dragged a black man who was 23 behind a trunk in Georgia because he was socializing with a white woman. Well, they were arrested. Frank Gilbert, 59, William Moore, Sr., who's 58, was arrested earlier this month on suspicion of murdering Timothy Coggin. And in Griffin, Georgia, October 1983, three others were arrested for obstructing justice. Now, two police officers who chained some reports was arrested, and one of the officers' mother was arrested.
Brother.
They knew that they killed the guy, and the police department covered for them. And now they're charged. Again, I'm not clapping until somebody gets convicted in this piece. I'm sticking by my story. We're not going through this.
And these people are they're not officers. They are community
the
members.
The two guys
who did.
Right.
Community
and
members
then two police officers.
Yeah,
the two officers, like, covered for the two guys who they knew who killed them. See, that's usually how white supremacy works. For anybody listening to the program, when you hear black people say white supremacy, it's when you start covering for the people who are overtly racist and crazy. Then the system starts covering for them.
Yeah, and get away
for what?
From most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But they said it was because he was socializing with a white woman. This is the 83. Hell, that was Michael Jackson was out then. That was Thriller time. No, I'm just joking. Like, white folks was hanging around black people at the time. It was not new that black people and white folks was interacting, but they wanted to kill the black guy. Kill a white woman. I'm just joking. No, I'm going to take that one back. But I'm just saying, stop getting mad at black people. Good Lord. Stop the madness. That's all I want to say. Oh, you know, there's a new story that came out, speaking of white men, that surgeons are saying that there's been a rise in the number of men who want lip injections to give them a bigger lip and a natural smirk. Now, I don't know if you heard that, Kathleen, but plastic surgery plastic surgery has continued to grow in popularity, and just over 17 million people in the United States received cosmetic surgery last year.
Wow.
So they said, you know, the population receiving these procedures like plastic surgery generally is overwhelmingly female, but the number of men who had cosmetic surgery in 2016 increased by 3% over 2015 and was up 28% since 2005. So what he called the minimal invasive procedure, like lip injections, is what this Dr. Merrick is calling them, surged by 74% from 2015 to 16. I guarantee you, I don't even have to play black or white on this one. There's no black man who gets lip injections. That is not happening. But that's the thing. Somebody, you got nothing? You're like, nope. Come on, Kathleen,
nope.
You got to have something. A little bit.
I got nothing.
Anything?
Nothing.
All right, fine. All right, so... You know, speaking of Michael Jackson, you know, Katherine Jackson has applied to legally surrender guardianship to her 15-year-old son, grandson, Michael Jr., who is widely known by the nickname Blanket, along with Tito Joe Jackson. They both had legal guardianship of the teenager. I guess he's teenager now. He's 15. And the two older siblings, but since they're of age, Paris and Prince, that only Michael Jr. stays with them. So she just went to court to give him sole guardianship. Now, Catherine wants to make TJ, who's 39,
to give sole guardianship
Tito,
to who?
Tito Jackson. Tito Joe Jackson, the son of Tito. He's 39. She wants to make him the sole guardian. And she said he and his wife normally kind of takes care of them, and they normally have to go to the Jackson estate to take care of him, but she's given him permission to let him go stay with them, which is cool. She's 87 years old.
When you said Joe, I was like, wait a minute.
I said Tito Joe, TJ.
Tito
Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. See, I'm not gonna even play along with the Jacksons today. Nope, that was Tito Joe Jackson. Okay, so here's my other Michael Jackson story. You know, Michael Jackson died 8 years ago,
but he
still generates millions of dollars. So he topped Forbes top 13 of highest paid celebrities who passed away. I don't like saying dead for some reason, but celebrities who passed away for the fifth straight year. He raked in $75 million in 1 year so far for this year. The year's not even over. So saying his earnings are coming from the Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, the Michael Jackson One, and his stake of EMI publishing catalog and the new greatest hits album, The Scream, released in September, amongst other endeavors. But Michael Jackson is still number one.
Well,
who would you guess would be number two? Go ahead. You know what?
Prince.
No.
Prince.
Remarkably enough. But, no, it's as far as celebrities. And I can tell you, they're not even in music. The next two is not in music.
The next two is not in music. Oh,
dead
not
celebrity.
In music. And what did you say?
Okay, since I said they're celebrities who passed away, and it's not Elvis because they're not in music. But fourth and fifth was Elvis and then Bob Marley. Okay.
Diana?
Nope, it's Arnold Palmer, the golfer.
Oh, the
$40 million. Exactly. How would he make $40 million? And the other one is Charles Schultz, the cartoonist. He made $38 million. So I can see him though, watching Peanuts and, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas just came on. I mean, Halloween. Yeah. So I can see him, if you want to call him a celebrity, Charles Schulz, but in the entertainment business. But I wouldn't have never thought that Arnold Palmer, I mean, isn't that just lemonade and tea? I'm just joking. Get out, Arnold Palmer.
That's Paul Newman, isn't it?
I know Paul Newman. No. Wait a minute. Paul Newman died.
Paul Newman is the one with the, well, the food.
Yeah, with the food, yeah. You know, Prince was number 7. He only made $18 million. Albert Einstein was 10th. He made $10 million. And Elizabeth Taylor was $8
million. Elizabeth Taylor?
Liz Taylor was 12th. She made $8 million. I don't know how she's still making money.
And she's got perfume,
she still have
jewelry,
that
all
perfume.
That
I was
stuff.
Just thinking that. It just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
The diamonds, the
white
perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what it is. What a name.
Mm-hmm.
White diamonds. Okay. I would say something about that, but since she was friends with Michael, I guess I'll leave her alone today. All right. No, I don't know if you saw this.
I was pretty crazy about Michael too, but we'll let that go until next week.
You sure? You sure you don't want to let it go? Okay.
Well, okay. So I was thinking. You know, it's so funny that I was just thinking this the other day, and I don't remember what I was watching, but I was, you know, I was just reminiscing about Michael and how much, you know, how much I really miss him, how much we all miss him, and I was like, man, when I was a kid, I remember saying I was going to marry Michael Jackson. I was like, listen, I'm going to marry him. I am going to meet Michael. When I go to, he was still in Gary, Indiana, I think at the time. Like, why am I in New York? I need to get myself over. I was a little girl. I wasn't even thinking about marriage, right? Didn't know anything about marriage.
But
I was like,
you knew you were going to be a bride. Okay.
Yes, I was going to be a bride, and I was going to be Michael Jackson's bride. And I was like, when you said that, I said, well, maybe it's not too late.
You're like, I still have time.
To make a posthumous wedding.
No, you're like, he still got the money to finance it. He can still make it happen.
I'm sorry, Michael. I love you.
That's
and
right.
I love you forever.
You know, okay, you know, Kathleen, in honor of Michael Jackson, we are going to play a really quick game of black or white. This is for Mike.
Good.
We haven't played it in a while. Okay, here's a couple of news stories. You know, we normally do this on black-on-black crime, but this is not black-on-black crime today. We're going to do this on news since we're a little bit in overtime. So here we go.
Yeah.
Now, a U.S. teenager in court gets a ticket for road rage, right? He gets sentenced to 60 days in jail, and he walked out of the courtroom, jumped in the SUV, and went on a high-speed chase. Is that kid black or white?
No way.
See,
I thought.
What are you saying? What is he?
I'm like, no way.
Now, normally in black and white, you don't get usually ask me a question.
He
got to the
SUV.
He
got to the SUV. And a high-speed
chase. Yeah. While he was sentenced to 60 days, he just walked out of the courtroom. And he walked really fast,
he's
though. He didn't run. He walked.
He's white. That's a white young man.
Okay. He was white. I'm surprised you didn't ask me, like, did he get shot? And then that would have helped you along, because he didn't. He crashed the SUV into another car. They got him out of the accident and then took him to jail. Yeah. All right. Now here's your next one. A grandmother who's 60 scattered nude photos of his son's ex-girlfriend around a high school so that her child can see it. Is that woman black or white? Okay, so this woman scattered the pictures of her son's ex-girlfriend in their child's school so that they could see these news pictures of this child's mother. Was the woman black or white?
She scattered pictures of her naked pictures. You said new pictures?
Naked
of her
pictures
son?
Of her son's ex-girlfriend because she was mad at him.
That's a black lady.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm gonna help you out with this one. Although I know some black people here, you're gonna kick yourself, but it was in Kentucky. They were not black. She got arrested for that. Her name is Frances Bailey of Kentucky, in case you want to go look her up. Nope. Now, here's another one. So, a Long Island mother robbed a bank while her 6-year-old daughter waited in a taxi. She was all along. Robs a bank,
and
6-year-old waits in the taxi.
In the taxi? That was a white woman.
Yep. It was a white woman. You got some nerve going to rob a bank in a taxi. But that's a fine thing.
Did she set it off? I was like, come on now.
I don't think so. She should have watched set it off. That was just, I don't know why she didn't see that. She could have just saw that. All right, so there you have it. Just wanted to do a really quick black or white. I should have brought in Brother Sean. Hey, Sean. And to my cousin Adria, these guys that's on the line, and everybody who's on the line. You know, we don't play the game on this show much, but technically, since Kathleen was here, I figured I might as well go for it. So, now, okay, you know, before we end this show, I have like two more. Okay, I'll do three more news stories, but I need to ask you this. Now, KFC, this is not a black or white, by the way. KFC in China, or in Japan, they have now made a bathroom scent, like soap bars, with 11 herbs and spices scent so that it smells like chicken. So they're giving away to 100 lucky winners, and they're saying that they're lucky. They'll get a chance to enjoy the aroma of their famous chicken after they kick back and relax in a bath. I'm sorry. You go to somebody, you're like, you smell like chicken. I don't care what chicken it smells like. I don't care what chicken. You do not want to smell like KFC on purpose.
No.
It comes in a red and white KFC branded box, and there's a coupon for a secret combination pack of chicken, by the way. So if you get the bath smelling like chicken salts or whatever it's called, they will give you a pack of chicken. I don't know how much it costs, but again, it's Japan, and they actually have spam at some of their fast food restaurants. So just want to put that in there while we're at it. And, you know, I don't know if I did that story last time, but, you know, there's a crisis with spam that in Hawaii that they're putting plastic locks on them because people are stealing spam and they're selling it wholesale on the black market.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can go to any store not just in the black community, but any store and just take all of those and sell them on the black market. Because technically, I don't see spam moving off the shelves like that. Just, you know. But apparently, apparently they're having spam issues. Now, I'm not going to do that. There was a one I wanted to do, but I guess I'm not going to do that one. Here's a story. 5 glasses of red wine a month could help you get pregnant, according to a new study. It says, you know, drinking will give you healthier ovaries. So researchers at Washington University School of Medicine, that they examine the effects of alcohol on fertility because, you know, the findings were initially conflicting. But they're saying if you drink 5 glasses of red wine a month, it could help get you pregnant. And I'm going to say this. This is not a part of the research. I'm going to say, like, cognac will do the same thing. But that's just me. I don't really know how this is going to go. That seemed like a stupid study, but I guess there's some medical validity to it.
Now, who's supposed to drink it, the men or the women?
The women.
Oh, just checking.
I think getting people drunk will help fertility rates just generally. I didn't do any studies, but I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna say if you drink too much, you can possibly get pregnant. Not from the alcohol, but anywho. All right. Let me cut that for the children. That might be all. I know I was about to go another mile on that.
Wait, I didn't get to do a story at the time.
Oh, no, you all sure right, didn't. So No. I want you to do the story. I just turned the music down for you. Let's go.
Thank you. The story that I have been very concerned about, it's been bothering me literally all day. I didn't know about it until today. I'm sure you probably have done the story because I know I missed you a couple weeks. But this young man who was murdered in Greece for, having taken a selfie with a white woman, the white woman who took the selfie, is just really, it just broke my heart. And I'm just praying that the United States Justice Department, I don't know, but I'm hoping that, where is he, out of Florida or... Where is he at? Arizona? I can't remember where his home is from. I think he's Arizona. But that the local politicians, I know they did at least write a letter, but I don't know how much it's going to take for them to be able to get some kind of movement on this on the international front. These were Serbian men, from what I understand. They may have been arrested once or whatever, but many of them went back to Serbia, so it's not likely that they'll go back to Greece or wherever they would need to go back to. But this is just a tragedy. Not only can we not stay at home, but this foolishness is going on internationally. I'm really, really sorry. And want to send my love and prayers to that family and to, all of the school and everybody who's been impacted by it, and just hoping that everyone who finds out about it will be able to at least make some noise online to encourage these politicians to do whatever they can to make sure that at least we will be safe traveling.
Yeah, I didn't know about that story. So they were just traveling, and the two Serbian guys sees a white woman.
To celebrate his college graduation, 22-year-old, gorgeous young man, went on a trip with several friends to Greece, celebrating his graduation. He was at a bar. And a white woman, I don't know a white young lady also, I don't know if he was with her or if she was from there. I have to find out a little bit more. If she was from there or what, I would imagine that she was from there. And she just took a selfie. She just asked to take a selfie with him, and, they took a selfie. She took it, and these guys were standing around and said, "What are you doing taking a picture with a black biz?" There are Serbs in the room. What are you doing taking a picture with a black guy? And then they move on him and, start an argument with him in this bar. And then one of the guys hit him, and so he swung back. And then all of these guys.
Yeah, I actually remember this story. Yes.
Yeah, he tried to run out of the bar. He ran out of the bar. They grabbed him, dragged him to the street, and beat and plummeted this young man to death. To death.
Yeah.
22. Yeah.
Again.
And I didn't see anybody in the melee. I didn't see anybody helping him. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They just jumped in and see all these guys beating him to death.
Yeah. See, now, and I have no words for this, because any word that I choose is not going to be nice. I think that we have You know, Europeans never like to deal with prejudice and racism. Like, they don't. And if that ever happens to one of them, they usually go to Gamut and want us all to have, like, a Jerry fund for them or something. But technically, when that happens to anybody in our community, I shouldn't say in our community, anybody black, then it's like, oh, yeah, well, what happened? I'm not really familiar with. They should have been blasting that. And I do remember seeing that news story. Actually, I saw it on television. But it got no coverage. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that is problematic.
Very much so.
Yep.
Very much so. So I don't know who,
yeah.
And I, all black folks, including me, like, oh, I want to go to Greece. I want to go to the Greek Isles. I want to go. We didn't need. We don't need to buy any more tickets.
I know that's right. Until they can make sure it's safe for us to travel, we ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
See, and most people, you know, and there are some people who thought I was wrong for saying that in the past, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have any desire to go around doing touristy stuff with people who, who don't appreciate our dollar. We have that problem in America way too much about spending our dollars with people who don't respect our money. So you definitely don't want to travel and do that. You don't. Keep it in your own neighborhood. Yep. So I'm completely, I understand you 100%.
It's really disappointing. Really, really.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to make sure to celebrate him. And I don't know his name, Jerome. I'm going to look that up.
So we should talk about that in the next show.
Let's talk about it in the next show. We can give a little bit more information. I heard this morning on GMA.
Oh, did you? I'm trying to remember when I heard it, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember hearing it, and I can't picture when I heard the story, but we need to talk about that. Maybe we need to fire up Black on Black Crime, too, because we really need to talk about that.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get the news story, and we'll get to bring out the details of it and talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Next show.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because it's not
right.
Even recent. It's not like it just happened. It happened
no.
Earlier in the summer, I believe.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised you said you heard it on GMA. That they actually
mm-hmm.
brought it back up. Because I remember hearing that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as the family is fighting, people should be fighting to get some kind of justice for him as well.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
His parents are making a move for it. So,
yeah,
we're with
good.
You.
Yeah, sure are. All right. Now, was there something else? Did we miss something else?
Let's see. I just want to see if I can go on a lighter note. What was the other thing that I wanted to talk about? Oh, okay. So, Gabrielle Union's show, Being Mary Jane, has gone off the air.
Uh-huh.
If you were a Being Mary Jane fan, it's done. And they brought Michael Ealy on there. I mean, like, they did everything imaginable they could bring. But they brought back. Oh my gosh! They even brought back
uh-huh.
the brother. First of all, they had Shaft, right? Richard Roundtree was already
Richard Roundtree.
Yes, was mm-hmm. her father. And then they brought back another one. Who was it? Jim, oh, my gosh. I can't even remember. But the mother's boyfriend. They brought back major stars. And
uh-huh.
nevertheless, Being Mary Jane was canceled. But I believe she's getting ready to go into another show. So look out for Gabrielle Union. I think it's going to be a comedy that's going to come up now. But if you're missing Gabrielle Union, go check out New York and Company and see her new line of clothing that she used to wear on Being Mary Jane. So I just thought I'll throw that out there.
Man, and she has a line of clothing. Okay. On that note, Gabrielle Union, hit us up. And, hit us up. I'll get you some comp stuff. Hit us up, Gabrielle. We'd like to talk to you about your clothing line. We'll see how that goes.
And when is Dwayne Wade go? When is he playing ball now? I forget.
He plays for Cleveland now.
Cleveland. How could I forget?
Yeah. So, you know, I have to say I am actually happy about that move because the way Miami treated him, I'm like, go back and kick their butt. If you kick nobody else's butt, just go back and kick Miami butt so they can act like, hey, we paid Bosch all this money. Forget LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Go back and kick their butt. Just want to say that.
Well, listen, and, all I can say is that New York beat Cleveland the other day. I was like, say what?
Yeah. Yeah, they're having a slow start over there at Cleveland. But here's the thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like Cleveland, you know, when you're used to winning, they're not panicking because they're like, we don't care if we win the division. As long as we go to the finals,
that's
they
right.
don't care.
That's
pros for you. They're saving their strength. But Dwayne Wade took the league minimum just to go to Cleveland. So what happened was when he was at Miami, he took a pay cut to get LeBron there and Bosch. And then Bosch was the highest paid person because LeBron took a pay cut to go to Miami. So when LeBron left, Dwayne Wade tried to get his money, and they didn't want to pay him. He took a pay cut just to win to go to the championship. They go win a couple, and now Miami didn't want to pay him. So, you know, Dwayne Wade has left and, you know, went to Chicago and now Cleveland. So good luck to Dwayne Wade. And I don't care how much Miami says that they regret him leaving, they can bite me and pay him his money. Pay me what you owe.
All right now.
That's all I want to say.
All right now.
Okay. So just want to give you a little commentary at the end of that because they owe him money.
Thank you.
And we not going to forget.
We got it.
You know, Kathleen, we don't forget our money.
We'll talk about Mello next week.
Oh, no doubt. We got to talk about Mello, too, in the Knicks. There we go. All right.
Thanks,
Rome. All right. See you next week.
All righty.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.